Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Hello.
We're here.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I guess we Can you guys, can you hear me, Michael?
I can hear you now.
So our audio is fine. I'm just trying to determine the audio, and nobody's answering me, so I'm assuming that our audio is bad.
Yeah, it's good now.
I can hear you just fine now.
Okay, we'll try to add Dr. Carly back into the call and see if that happens again.
Do your introduction again. Let people know what they're listening to.
Well, we're listening to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com, based out of Canada, the globalist occupied country formerly known as Canada, now known as Kanatistan. And we were supposed to be here talking about the lovely Ebola outbreak with our guest, Dr. Rebecca Carly. And we'll see if we can bring her back in. I'm not sure. We seem to be having some Skype issues. But anyways, guys, there's been a recent case of somebody who's been quarantined out in Brampton with Ebola symptoms. Now, that doesn't mean they have Ebola. They've not been diagnosed with Ebola. They just have been to Africa recently, and they are exhibiting some symptoms, which many illnesses do exhibit similar symptoms as Ebola does. So to me, This is a big thing that I think we're going to see in the future, is anyone who has visited Africa that comes back and seems mildly ill is automatically going to be quarantined or isolated, and a big media hype is going to surround it.
Mm-hmm. I agree, John.
Do we have Dr. Carly back with us?
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Carly. Okay, so we got you back. Sorry for the technical problems. We can only blame Skype for this.
Yes, it happens all the time.
So we're talking about the Ebola outbreak. And this is what I don't understand. Isn't it against the CDC and the World Health Organization's policy on infectious diseases like this to export them and fly them to other countries?
Well, that's where they're taking off their mask. Because obviously bringing two infected people into the United States is totally insane. In fact, it violates the core containment principle that medical authorities and militaries are enforcing in regards to quarantine of this illness. But when I started digging further, it became self-evident to me what's going on. The CDC actually has a patent on the Ebola virus. They're the ones that created it. There's an excellent article in regards to this on naturalnews.com entitled, "Why Does the CDC Own a Patent on the Ebola Invention?" And as it turns out, they started developing a vaccine for Ebola 4 years ago. So, you know, they're going to make lots of money. And the pharmaceutical company involved in this is going to make lots of money. And in fact, what people have to realize is that the CDC is actually a for-profit corporation, just like all agencies, just like all levels of government, as explained in an excellent document, The Legal Process, on the anticorruptionsociety.com. Everything that's happening is being done on purpose. It has a lot to do with the depopulation agenda of the UN, Agenda 21. And it has also to do with distracting people and scaring people. But one thing I will say, because you mentioned about quarantine, the good news is what I would do if I was you, I don't give medical advice after the medical mafia went after me. I tell people what I would do if I was they. Colloidal silver kills all these bugs. There's never been a single germ, including AIDS, that's ever been tested to not be killed by colloidal silver, because colloidal silver disables the oxygen metabolism enzyme in the, i.e. the chemical lung in the bacteria, virus, one-celled parasite, whatever. So that's the solution. I suggest getting a colloidal silver generator so that you never run out. Myself, my three dogs, my two cats, we take it every day. You need to flood your body with silver so that if something happens, then you'll be protected, because they're also spraying us with mycoplasma and a weaponized rabies that I have the document for that the NIH paid $500,000 to have developed, where you don't have to be bitten. They can spray it on you and you develop rabies. But all these things will be killed by colloidal silver. What we have to face is the fact that the United States government and Israel also to some extent are doing this, as they're complaining about Syria, you know, gassing its own people and all the rest of it. Look what they are doing. And of course, we're paying for it, and something must be done.
So, Dr. Carley, with colloidal silver, what is the shelf life of colloidal silver? Can you just keep it on the shelf for a year and then take it after, or what?
Well, if I was you, I wouldn't be leaving it on the shelf for a year, because you should be taking it every day, in my opinion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on how you make it. There's certain things that you must do, such as keep it in an amber-colored bottle so that it's not exposed to the sun, because the sun will break it down and things of that nature.
Well, it's in a cool, dark place anyway, right? So.
Yeah, well, that's where it should be, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really good. It's good, like you said, it's good for pets and plants if you want to give it to your plants. If you want.
Yeah, there's a thousand uses. You can clean your cutting boards with it. I mean, the uses are endless.
I heard that down somewhere that if you drink too much colloidal silver, your skin starts turning color.
Yeah, that's the disinfo they're using to scare people. That's called argyria, where your skin turns gray. Of course, nothing else bad happens, you just turn gray. I researched this. I've been taking silver for about 17 years now. I researched this years ago. There's only been 150 cases of argyria in 150 years.
Right.
And those cases of argyria were were caused because people were actually taking in ground silver.
Right.
The way, and that's how it gets into the tissues. The way that it's made now, it's electronically suspended in distilled water, and that just doesn't happen. But, you know, they're doing everything they can to scare people because this will put Big Pharma out of business.
Oh, geez, we don't want to do that, do we?
Right.
Yeah, they're threatening the health stores as well, giving them notices about the products that are being sold in there and saying that the products should not tell you what benefits it gives you. It just says, oh, it's just for a cold or for something else. They want to disguise the benefits of it.
Right. Well, the FDA has declared silver as a pesticide. So even though there's a grandfather clause in place going back to 1938 that, let me see, I'm reading from a document here. The FDA admitted that colloidal silver is grandfathered as a pre-1938 healing modality, which makes it exempt from FDA jurisdiction. But that doesn't mean, you know, they haven't declared it a pesticide. We see what they're doing, raids on raw milk manufacturers. I mean, they're out of control. And so it doesn't matter what the law is. They'll do whatever they want. That's why I suggest people get their own generator, because then that way you'll have it for life, and you can make your own.
Yeah, I know quite a few stores and places where I get the nice big bottles of it, and it's quite actually good. And I can go to a health store and get some hemp oil, which is good for you too as well, so stock up on that.
Wait a minute. What health food store is this? I don't know of any health food stores that sell hemp oil.
Whole Foods sells organic up here in Canada.
Oh, okay.
I got some on the shelf here.
Yeah, you can get hemp oil up here. It's quite readily available, but it's not the kind that will give you any kind of buzz.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, that kind is still against the law here in Canada. Though, I mean, the laws are quite watered down. It's not like Texas where they're trying to send the teenager or the college student away for life for some pot brownies. You know, and up here they'll give you, if you get caught, you'll get a fine or something. And that's about it.
Right.
But anyways, with this, this is what blew my mind, is the executive order that the President of the United States signed pertaining to detaining people with respiratory illnesses, and, you know, as they're flying in, people who they claim have Ebola.
It's insane. It's insane. And not only that, as we have all these, you know, illegal immigrant children coming across the border, you know, what they're claiming is that those children could be carrying diseases. Well, of course, if those children had any serious diseases, they would never be able to make the monumental trek to get here in the first place. What's happening is they're putting them in actually military bases, and they're vaccinating them. They're inoculating them with disease. So they're going to create the typhoid Marys in that way. And that serves two purposes. It gets people, you know, outraged against these people. Of course, if they really wanted to close the border, they would have done it years ago. And secondly, it provides another way to infect people. But yes, it's totally insane. And let me just say this very strongly. If you go to a white coat and you have these symptoms, they're going to report you to public health. Public health is going to put you in quarantine. So in my opinion, the last person you should be trusting is the white coat, which is what I so disrespectfully call my profession, because they will turn you in. Better to take colloidal silver, not get the symptoms in the first place, stay away from those white coats, and of course, do not allow yourself to be inoculated with disease, because now we got the flu season coming up, so who knows what little goodies they're going to have in that flu shot.
So what about the stories with these patients being sent back to America, to like major cities?
As I said, it's insane. I mean, who does this? Not to mention the fact that it was just reported in the news here in the States on July 12th that the CDC has closed two of its labs due to mistakes that were made where anthrax and bird flu accidents occurred and were released. So we're trusting these people who already had these mistakes releasing these dangerous organisms to confine Ebola in people that are being shipped into this major city, Atlanta, Georgia. You know, I feel sorry for anybody that lives in Atlanta because I predict that some bad thing's going to happen.
Now, my understanding is that this particular strain of Ebola is a new strain. It's not Ebola Zaire. It's a different strain of Ebola. Have you read any papers or research on different strains of Ebola other than Ebola Zaire?
Well, all viruses have different strains. And yes, as far as I've read, this Ebola is called Ebobun. E-B-O-B-U-N. This is the strain that the CDC has patented.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Now in relation to the if I take the official story coming from the officials, and it appears in this recent 2014 Ebola outbreak in Africa,
Okay, I don't know if anybody can hear me or not.
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
As soon as Dr. Carly dropped out of the call, the audio got better again. On here and gone again.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the lovely Skype update. We've never had Skype problems this bad, folks.
Yeah, maybe the CDC are getting involved.
Yeah, that's hardcore that they got the patent.
Oh, definitely.
For a virus, like, does that mean?
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Okay, this is very frustrating. Let me just. I mean, you know, they monitor everything, and yeah. Obviously they don't want this information out. This happens to me all the time.
Well, Bill
yeah,
Gates,
we're back on. We're back on. Okay.
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 Nice. All right. We're live. So the question was, how do 60 healthcare workers end up getting Ebola if this stuff is not airborne? And they're wearing full mask, full gown, protective gear. How do they end up getting it if it's not airborne? That's what I don't understand.
Well, of course. You think they're going to tell us the truth about whether or not it could be airborne? Of course it can be airborne. Any virus can be airborne.
If they want it to be airborne, if they release the news about it being airborne, sure. They can say it comes from just contact with people. They can say whatever they want. That's the scary right. part. But a lot of us are waking up and are figuring it out and know what the story is. So, yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Okay, let me make something clear. Ebola is an RNA virus just like the flu viruses. And we all know with the flu virus, what's the main way people get the flu besides being inoculated with it is by somebody sneezing or coughing on you. So in the same way, I'm sure that Ebola could be transmitted that way as well.
Yeah, that makes it even more scary that it's all the major cities. Like they just had one right near Toronto, a case in Brampton. They put a patient in isolation. And it's like if this is going on in every major city in the world, it's like people are so close to each other that if it is airborne, how quickly could it spread? But then that's what I wonder if over in Africa, if it's like hundreds of people have Ebola or thousands of people, or do they?
Well, Africa is where the WHO, the World Homicide Organization, goes virus hunting. Gets viruses, which the CDC then tweak to make them much more dangerous. And then they bring the viruses back. And they actually use missionaries to go in and inoculate the people. And, this is how, the main way I'm sure that they're spreading these diseases. But it's very interesting. At 4 o'clock this morning, I got a call from a woman in Nigeria who found me on the internet. And she was calling to discuss with me how the people know. They know what's going on. As a matter of fact, they're now threatening these healthcare workers who they know are actually spreading the disease. They're threatening them with knives, stones, and machetes and surrounding their vehicles. Whoa. So the people, imagine what this must be like. You live in a country like, you know, Nigeria, where we all know that the powers that be are trying to kill off as many people as they can so they can steal their natural resources. And then you have these agents come in claiming that they're there to help you when you know, because you see with your own eyes, that they're actually causing the spread of the disease. We had a situation like this about a year ago in India, where Bill Gates sent his oral polio vaccine in to, quote-unquote, protect the children, 45,000 of them became paralyzed. So the people see what's going on, but these poor people, they have no power. You know, they're basically forced to go along with the program. They pretty much use food and water as a way to get them to do what they're being told to do. It's basically extortion. And this is the situation that's happening.
Yeah, you're right with the polio. Like Jonas Salk, who was the inventor of the first polio vaccine, he had to admit before a Senate subcommittee that nearly all polio vaccine outbreaks or the outbreaks of polio were caused by the vaccine since 1961. Is that true to that?
Yes, it is. And actually, there's vaccine information statements available on the CDC site. And the vaccine information statement for the oral polio vaccine, which they're giving you polio. You know, they're sticking it on a sugar cube, which of course shuts down your immune system, and then having you eat it. And they admit on the vaccine information statement for the oral polio vaccine that they stopped it here in the States in the 1980s because it was the only way people were getting polio.
Right. So basically the vaccine suppliers have legal immunity. You cannot sue them if you and your family get sick or die.
Right. And that's another big red flag, of course. Right. And the way that happened is that the vaccine manufacturers, because especially after the 1976 swine flu vaccine, killed and maimed so many people, and they paid out billions of dollars. They threatened they were not going to make vaccines anymore unless they got immunity. Now, what other situation do we have where you're basically coerced and forced? Although I encourage people to just say no, but they try to tell you that your children can't go to school, blah, 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 unless you get them inoculated with disease. It's a one-size-fits-all approach. There's no consideration of their individual medical situations and things of that nature. And then when they're killed or maimed, you have to go to a vaccine court. At least that's how it is here in the States, which it's almost impossible to get a case heard in the first place. They have all these arbitrary timelines. You know, if you don't get sick within a certain number of days after the vaccine, they deem that it's not related to the vaccine. But yet they've still paid out over $3 billion with a B dollars in settlements since this court was started in the 1980s. Let me just give you some good news, and this will never happen here in North America. However, in Spain, a judge has actually allowed for a criminal lawsuit to go forward against the manufacturers of the Gardasil vaccine. On July 30th, he decided to open criminal proceedings and investigation of the facts regarding Gardasil injuries and potential criminal liability. Anyone convicted in this case could face 6 to 12 years in prison. This is what we need to see happening, because maybe sometime, you know, in the slammer, we'll make these manufacturers say, uh-oh, I guess we better close down our operations.
But well, the Gardasil vaccine, that was for cervical cancer, supposedly, right?
Right.
Right. And now, so up here in Canada, how the heck does giving young boys Gardasil vaccine prevent cervical cancer when young boys don't have cervix?
No, but they are the carriers.
Well, and not only that, the HPV vaccine, the HPV virus also causes...
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine. Has a 100-year shelf life and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to AllGov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media, A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Chris and Sericcio, Saturdays and Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder. And still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to this,
We have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation.
For a very limited amount of time. Like if somebody were talking to you or sneezed at you or coughed.
Hold on, Lawrence. We're back. Can you repeat that question?
Again, we were talking about Ebola being an airborne virus. Is there not a difference between an airborne virus and one that is airborne for a limited amount of time in particulates? In other words, if somebody was talking close to you or sneezed at you or coughed on you, where those particulates only remain in the air for a very short amount of time. Is there not a difference here? I mean, one is an airborne virus that can travel for a long distance, and the other is only airborne for a short amount of time around an infected person. Is that considered an airborne virus? I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's airborne because that's how it's being spread. They're coughing or they're sneezing on you. But let's not forget they're also spraying these things on us in chemtrails. As I said, mycoplasma, weaponized rabies, and I'm sure Ebola is either being done or will be done as well.
Well, I guess with the official definitions, they, you know, I think Lawrence is right with their official
Obviously, they don't want this information out. Well, it's certainly causing a huge waste of time.
Hello.
No, it seems that we're back.
Here. We're back? How are you? Dr. Carly, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay. Well, I think we just have too many people on the call and it's killing the bandwidth.
Well, Daniel just dropped out. So how are we
okay,
doing
Okay, if I
now?
Could repeat.
Please do.
Okay, I can hear you. I just want to repeat what I was saying before we went to break because I didn't know we were going to break. About the Gardasil vaccine, if you check out the package insert, it's never been tested to see if it causes cancer. No vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer. So that's one thing that everybody should check out for themselves.
Yeah, because I looked at the insert and it says it hasn't been tested on pregnant women, but they encourage to get it to give it to pregnant women.
Yeah, it's insane. And that's why, you know, I started doing this work I was trained as a surgeon. I left medicine because I witnessed euthanasia, research fraud, and experimentation on people in the hospital. I then had my only son. I didn't know about vaccines. He became brain damaged from his vaccines. I learned how to reverse it, the brain damage, with natural therapies. That's how I started doing my Hippocrates protocol. And I've been researching vaccines for over 17 years, and they are definitely weapons of mass destruction. As a matter of fact, on my drcarly.com site at the top, I have the legal definition of weapons of mass destruction. And when you read it, you know, it completely covers vaccines as weapons of mass destruction.
But when we were children, like Lawrence, me, probably John and my brother, you know, we all got immunized when we were babies. And I'm still here talking, you know, and I'm still fairly healthy and everything else. So what?
All right, let me respond to that, because that's something people bring up all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll be 60 in a week. I received a few vaccines. At this point, if you live in New York City, you're going to get 85 vaccines by the time you're 5 years old. They just keep adding to the schedule and adding to the schedule. Okay, that's first of all. Second of all, in my opinion, anybody that's been inoculated with disease should get their vaccines detoxed, because you may not realize you have a problem. You may not realize that your immune system has been affected. Sometimes it can take 30 years for a disease to manifest itself. But everybody that's been inoculated has been affected by those inoculations. On my drcarly.com site, I have a paper that I wrote many years ago, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, and I describe how the vaccines corrupt the immune system. Because it's not just the disease that the vaccines are causing. Every disease in internal medicine, all the autoimmune diseases, cancer, seizures, you name it, in people and pets are caused by vaccines. And I have so much proof of this. I'm working on a book, but it's over 1,000 pages. I have to find a way to edit it down to some degree so that people would even, you know, take time to read it. But there's plenty of proof out there of what I've said.
Well, yes, but Dr. Carly, at the same time, you've got to admit that diseases such as polio and whooping cough and German measles are practically non-existent in North America now. And a lot of that has got to be due to immunizations that people got when they were children back in the 50s and the 60s.
Sorry, wrong. Okay, as a matter of fact, we're having outbreaks of measles and whooping cough here in the States, and it's always in the vaccinated children because they're giving them the virus when they're inoculating them. Okay, so it has nothing to do with the vaccinations. As a matter of fact, all of these childhood illnesses, I got measles, I got all these things when I was a kid. If you get the disease naturally and your body processes the virus as it was meant to do, then you develop lifelong natural immunity. Giving all these boosters, they're just further assaulting the immune system. There's an excellent book, Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? By Neil Z. Miller. And he gives all kinds of documentation. For example, the polio was on its way out. They brought in the polio vaccine. The polio cases skyrocketed. Same thing with the measles. Basically, what they do is they change the name of the disease when it's caused by the vaccine. Vaccines do not prevent anything. They give you the disease and they corrupt your immune system.
But doesn't that more speak to modern vaccines and modern methods for creating these vaccines as opposed to
That was the question I had with
vaccines in general.
Well, that was part of the question I had in relation to Lawrence's question, especially the measles one, because there's been some recent measles outbreaks in. Did I lose everybody?
Oh, I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay.
Me too.
All right. No, everything went silent. So. There's been recent measles outbreaks in the United States and some of the schools where all the children who got measles were recently vaccinated against the measles.
Right.
Now, my question is today's measles vaccination or vaccine any different than the one in years past or decades past?
Well, yes, of course it is. They're using recombinant tissues to make the viruses grow and all kinds of sci-fi stuff. But let me just ask you a question. If these germs are bad, and they're not bad if you have a healthy immune system, you can handle them one at a time. But if they're bad, does it make any sense to tell people that we're going to protect you by injecting the viruses directly into your bloodstream along with a whole list of toxic chemicals like formaldehyde, heavy metals, all kinds of other stuff? The whole concept is insane on its face.
Well, what about this thing about they're saying it's not live virus? It's not live viruses that they're putting in the vaccines. Are they all live?
Well, some of them are live, like the MMR vaccine, that's live. And, of course, the measles vaccine causes autism. They changed the name. They used to call it subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. There's always disinfo out there. They talk about mercury being involved with autism. The MMR vaccine has never had mercury. So basically, you have to do your homework and research to see what's really going on. But if people actually read the list of ingredients in any vaccine, they would never allow it to be injected into themselves, their pet, or their child. And of course, you can't trust what they write anyways, because these are always secret, I forget the term for it, but they can say that this is their own personal, private creation, so they don't even have to give you all the ingredients.
Yes, but doctor, again, at the same time, if you look back to the 30s and the 40s, diseases such as polio and whooping cough affected hundreds of thousands of people. Today, these diseases are almost non-existent. Is this not, again, I gotta stress this one more time. Again, is this not a condemnation of the newer technology when it comes to creating vaccines as opposed to vaccines in general?
Because, no.
I mean, at one time, you know, whooping cough took what? One in four children in North America?
Who says that?
Five for polio?
Wait. See, you're believing the authorities once again. They can make up any numbers they want in order to push their toxic vaccines. Okay, that is not true. And let's not forget hygiene. The way polio is spread, it's an enteric virus, meaning it goes through the GI system. Before they developed sewer systems and toilets, people were defecating and urinating into buckets and pouring it out their windows onto the streets. That was the main problem with polio.
Well, in the 30s and the 40s, we did have sewer systems, at least in North America.
Well, I don't know. That's not what I found in my research.
Well, what's the deal with this? Didn't you guys mention earlier about the guy who came out with the polio vaccine? And
yeah,
what did he say about it?
He admitted that it caused polio. Yes. I mean, yes, there's been changes in the way they make vaccines. For example, the smallpox vaccine. The way they made that vaccine is they took pus from milkmaids, the ones that were milking cows, and they would put a calf down and tie it up and scratch its skin and infect it with this pus. And that's how they made the smallpox vaccine, which was from cowpox. It wasn't even smallpox. And what they ended up doing was creating a morphed virus of smallpox and cowpox called vaccinia. And so that's the virus that started being spread by what they called the smallpox vaccine.
Now, what's the deal with children of thalidomide?
Thalidomide was a drug, not a vaccine.
That was a drug, not a vaccine. Okay.
Yeah, that was a drug given to women too, who were at risk for, you know, having their babies, you know, preterm. But it's an excellent example to just show that they release these toxic poisons on the market. They don't do proper research. As a matter of fact, I don't know what goes on in Canada, but here in the States, almost every commercial is some big pharma drug. And they'll actually say in the commercial, it can cause death, it can cause this, it can cause cancer, it can cause that. But yet these drugs are still on the market. So basically, you know, the FDA is another for-profit corporation, which is actually in existence to help big pharma sell its toxic drugs.
Yeah, they don't want cures, they want customers.
Right. There's no money to be made in curing anything, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why, you know, here in the States, once again, they're trying to force people to buy this Obamacare insurance, which covers nothing that works, only covers big pharma. But interesting, they always talk about these pre-existing conditions. Well, why do we have pre-existing conditions? Because nothing that big pharma does cures anything. It only causes more problems.
Is it true in the UK between 1970 and 1990, over 200,000 cases of whooping cough occurred in fully vaccinated children?
I have no idea.
It says here in the Community Disease Surveillance Center in the UK.
Well, I'm surprised that they're admitting to that, but as I told you, as far as I found, the only outbreaks that have occurred have been in vaccinated children. Not to say that the vaccinated children can't then cough or sneeze or drool on an unvaccinated child and cause some problem to develop, but the unvaccinated children won't have a problem. They'll recover from the disease and then have lifelong immunity.
Vitamin D, getting out in the sunshine, getting at least 20 minutes of sunshine.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about that, because that's another very obvious situation. What are they telling people to do? Slather yourself with sunscreen. What does that do? A, just like you said, it prevents the formation of vitamin D when you're out in the sun. And B, sunscreen is made out of toxic chemicals. It's the sunscreen that's causing all the cancer, not the sun.
Or unless you have skin problems in the first place. A lot of people have skin problems in the first place.
Well, I've also read that in various medical papers,
well, once again, we appear to be having audio problems, and
it was okay there for a bit.
Dr. Carly has dropped out of the call once again. Hopefully, she will come back.
Let's see if we can get her back here or ring her up.
I'm back.
You're back. Okay, with audio seems great. To have cleared up. We're not sure. Thanks, Bill Gates, for your marvelous Skype update.
Right. Okay, wait. I want to hear that question. Somebody was saying they read in various medical journals something.
Still having audio problems.
It seems as soon as Dr. Carly drops out, our audio problems disappear again.
Yeah, well, it was doing that with anybody. As long as I removed one person from the call, the audio cleared out. It didn't matter who I removed. So I thought it was a Skype issue, bandwidth over Skype. But we removed Daniel from the call to free up some bandwidth, and we're still having the same problems. So this is all I can think of. I mean, I'm on a solid connected line. I'm not on Wi-Fi or any of that nonsense.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
So there's no reason why we would just keep dropping out like this. I think it's honestly everyone's got this new Skype update, and it's really screwed everything up, I think.
Yeah, I get that window all the time.
I've not updated Skype, so... but I'll be more than happy to drop out of today's show if it would help keep Dr. Carly in.
Do you have anything else to do as well?
Other than cause problems, no.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, I think we've got you back now. We're sorry, Dr. Carly, this doesn't normally happen on our show. It's the lovely Skype update is what I believe is happening here. But anyways, we've got you back, and I don't recall what the question was.
Okay, somebody was saying something about he's read in medical research, and then I lost it.
Well, I was mentioning something like in the UK in the between 1970 and 1990, over 200,000 cases of whooping cough occurred in fully vaccinated children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right. For the Disease Surveillance Center in the UK.
Well, I'm shocked at that admission. But see, then the next question one should ask is, so then what the heck are you doing vaccinating children in the first place? Obviously, at the very least, the vaccines aren't working. But what I'm here to tell you is that the vaccines are causing the problem in the first place.
Yes.
But this is the insanity of the whole thing. But they don't admit that here in the States. I mean, if you read between the lines, when they report on a specific outbreak, you will find that, you know, almost all the children were in fact vaccinated. But once again, like I said, this should ask the question, especially as we're seeing all these side effects from vaccines, and Gardasil is the worst, in my opinion. Why are they forcing this on the children when they don't even work in the first place? At the least, at the most, they're causing all these problems.
Yeah, to me, it's partly to create more problems on top of that. So, yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And it says in the USA in 1960, two virologists, if I say that properly, discovered that both polio vaccines were contaminated with the SV40 virus, which causes cancer in animals as well as changes in the human cell tissue cultures. Millions of children have been injected with these vaccines.
And once again, that goes to show the fraud and corruption involved in these technologies. Because, yes, in fact, I forget the name of the woman, a researcher that found this, and they knew the information for something like 15 years before they finally, you know, did something about it. And like I said, cancer is one of the biggest money makers for Big Pharma, so they do lots of things in order to cause more cancer to be created.
And you said, Dr. Carly, that everybody is born with a form of cancer?
No, I didn't say that. No,
or they were born with something. I forget what you said.
They were born with a healthy immune system, which is then corrupted by the injection of these toxic poisons, nicknamed vaccines.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, again, is this a quality control problem in the manufacture of these vaccines, as opposed to the vaccines themselves being the problem? When you talk about vaccines being contaminated with this, that, or the other thing, to me, that sounds more like a quality control problem rather than a problem with the vaccine. Or am I wrong here?
And if I am, you're wrong.
What proof of there is that?
Because, as I said before, common sense tells you that injecting viruses directly into your bloodstream, along with a whole laundry list of other poisons, is not going to protect you from anything. The whole concept of vaccination is a fraud. It's the biggest lie that's ever been told, at least in terms of the medical community.
So back in the day, Dr. Carley, back turn of the century, most doctors basically did your traditional medicines, and as well as they had herb gardens in the back of their offices, so they can either do both or just one thing or whatever. So doctors were quite good in those days. You don't see doctors like that anymore.
Well, they're not allowed to be like that anymore. In fact, my experience with the medical mafia, they went after me in 2003, claiming I had a delusion of conspiracy because of public access TV shows I was doing, exposing various things. I never even had a complaint against me when I was a surgeon. But they used this alleged delusion of conspiracy, to take away my medical license, saying I had to undergo psychiatric treatment to keep a license, and I told them, you can have your license. I'm a teacher now. But this is how they control doctors, is through licensure. And there's all kinds of standards of practice that they have created. Doctors have no say in what they do anymore. You have to use the standards of practice, which basically diagnose a disease and give whatever drug is recommended for that disease. And whatever drug you give has to be covered by the patient's insurance. The doctor now is just a robot. They have no ability or authority to use their own common sense, and especially to use anything natural. What I suggest your listeners do, a very important book everybody should read. It was written by a Canadian physician, Guy Lane, G-U-Y-L-A-I-N-E, Lanctote, L-A-N-C-T-O-T. It's called The Medical Mafia, and she gives the whole history of how the Rockefellers came in and corrupted modern medicine in the early 1900s. They closed all homeopathic medical schools and turned everything over to Big Pharma. It's an excellent book, and of course they went after her medical license just for writing the book.
But doctor,
we are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken, but it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Hello, I'm Michael from Colorado, and at 68 years, I was feeling the sand run out of that hourglass. I understand that I create my own reality, but I wanted a jump start. Along comes RNA drops. Okay, I'll bite. Ascension by default. Right. So 4 months down the line, I find my genital herpes, the gift that keeps on giving, isn't showing up. I guess I didn't want it anymore. Now I'm getting out of bed without the joint pains. The night sweats are gone. The sore, red, cracked, and bleeding skin of my hands is becoming new again, and perhaps most welcome of all, the cares of life starting to disappear in that rearview mirror. Whatever the RNA drops are doing, they are functioning like what I would describe as my personal alchemical adaptogen, opening channels of communication with my own non-physical. Find out what RNA drops will do for you. For a free mini bottle, you pay only shipping, go to michaelsrnadrops.com. That's michaelsrnadrops.com.
According to a 2010 earnings report, Google earns nearly $80 million in a single day. On August 15, 2012, Google was fined $22 million by the FTC for illegally stealing your data. Google learned its lesson, right? Wrong. The very next day, in a show of arrogance, the Washington Post reported that Google employees rode tricycles around sacred Mayan ruins.
Because we know where you are, We know where you've been. We can more or less guess what you're thinking about.
Can you trust this megalomaniac with your personal information? Can you trust Google? With Microsoft's Bing, Steve Ballmer has personally ensured your privacy. He's even partnered with Facebook to keep you connected to your loved ones. Make the moral choice. Decide with Bing.
I'm Steve Ballmer, and I approve this message.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the
corrupt
jungle,
studies, big pharma.
Well, the key word there is funding, isn't it?
When we are successful.
Okay, at one time, peer review had nothing to do with funding.
Well, that's long gone.
With the corruptness in the system. Be it the medical system, the pharmaceutical system, the political system, or the banking system, is funding. It's the money. You know, I've heard so many times people say, if we could get the money out of politics, we would solve 50% of our problems. Well, to me, what you're saying is if what we need to do to clean the corruptness out of the medical system and out of the pharmaceutical system, to somehow take the lure of dirty lucre, the profit, out of the system to correct the system. Because you can't just go and say, you know, all drugs, all vaccines, all whatever are useless, and we've got to go back to doing absolutely nothing. Because, you know, I mean, that's why we've got modern science in the first place.
I have to interrupt you.
Careful.
They're not useless.
I'm careful about the accusations that we make and in terms of what the problem is. The real problem here is profit. The real problem is the corruptness of the pharmaceutical companies. Recently, I ran across something where the five largest pharmaceutical companies, how much their CEOs were making. And it was an obscene amount of money. It worked out to like $500,000 an hour, what the people who were at the top of these pharmaceutical companies were making. What we have here is we have a problem with money and corruption, as opposed to a problem with drugs in a medical system. Would you not agree with that?
I would totally not agree with that. First of all, how are you going to take the money out? Second of all, as somebody else also knows, they've made themselves immune from lawsuits for, especially with vaccines, all the death and destruction that they cause. The purpose is to cause disease. That's the purpose. So how are you going to take
And I think we seem to have lost audio connection here. Can anybody hear me out here?
Get out of the system.
Okay, well, I'm going to assume I'm still in this call.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're having audio connection problems here again over Skype.
To answer the question that she was ranting at me about, I think the way you take the money out of the system is by not allowing medical patents, for starters. You don't allow these pharmaceutical companies to patent their products, so that when they come up with a product that other companies wish to produce, they can. Take out the patents, take out the profit. If we remove the profit and the patent system from the pharmaceutical industry, it seems to me that would be a big step in controlling this kind of stuff. Yeah. I refuse to get paranoid to the point to where, oh, they're all trying to kill us. I don't believe that. I know plenty of good doctors that aren't trying to kill anybody, and they practice medicine on a daily basis.
Well, they've probably not been indoctrinated, so to speak.
Well, they're not trying to kill people. They have no other option than toxic pharmaceutical drugs. So to keep their license, they must give those toxic drugs. Period.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And
I
and,
let me
mention something about research, because I that there's different caveats involved in research. The first one is observation. If you do something and a patient develops a serious condition, and vaccines are my specialty, okay, then basically it's obvious. You did something, something happened, it was caused by the vaccines. But that is not allowed to be mentioned in today's world. They always say it's a coincidence. It's your genetics. They make up some excuse. But that's the most important aspect of scientific research, and that's totally bypassed with all these corrupt scientific studies. Let me just tell you something very important, a study that I learned about some years ago. There was a study being done. They were injecting lab rats with poison, trying to figure out the lethal dose. And there was one group of rats that just wouldn't die. And they couldn't figure out what the problem was. So they observed the caretaker of the rats to see what was he doing different. And what was he doing different? He was talking to the rats. He was petting the rats. He was loving the rats. And that actually caused the rats to be more able to be poisoned and not succumb to the poison. So there's many aspects to this, but the bottom line is the way research is developed today, it's totally corrupt. I'm telling you, it's totally corrupt. I have researched this for years. You have to read the studies that they do. If there's any outliers when they're doing their control groups and their test study groups, they just remove them from the study. These are the kinds of things that are going on. The research today is total fraud, period.
Mm-hmm,
and it doesn't involve common sense at all.
So, Dr. Carley, is the best sources to go to are actual documents that the CDC or some type of government agency brings out? Is that the best way to get it? You get the truth in there as well?
No, you can sometimes find truth, but... No, yeah. They're not going to give you the actual truth, because if people actually read the package inserts from the drugs that they're taking, they would never take the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the CDC, as I said, it's a for-profit corporation. They're patenting viruses. You going to believe these people when they add more and more vaccines onto the list that children have to be inoculated with? No. That doesn't even make sense.
So you feel the best sources to go to are the whistleblowers? Is that to me? I think I get a lot of my information from there.
Right.
Totally. I still have to question them as well. So.
Well, yeah. What do you have to complain about the whistleblowers? If they're being killed, threatened, losing their license, and all these kinds of things, why is that happening? And why are they whistleblowing in the first place? The answer is because they have a conscience. And we have whistleblowers in many different areas now. People are stepping forward because they're realizing that we're facing the extinction of the human race, period. And if we don't step in and do something to stop these psychopaths, the hell that we live in now is just going to be, a walk in the park compared to what's coming.
And that's also what you're saying about other doctors who are, telling us about the harmful effects of vaccines, but they also say that they don't disapprove of vaccines, which
right.
I heard you make a presentation on that.
Right.
It's because they will probably lose their medical license or something like that if they do.
Right, they're cowards. They're cowards. I've had three attempts on my life, okay? So I understand why they don't dare to tell the whole truth. Okay, but half a truth is a whole lie. And so, you know, I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself. I can document everything I say. But the other thing we have to do is start listening to grandma, you know, as far as what to do, you know, chicken soup and all the rest of it. There's natural solutions for everything. And that's why Big Pharma is going after natural supplements and trying to make them unavailable to the people. In the UK, homeopathy used to be covered under the NHS. And now they're stopping that as well. Because homeopathy actually works. And they can't have something that works available to the public.
Yeah, and it's just like in our yards we have dandelions. And in certain countries they use it for tea and medical purposes to keep healthy. And they're telling us we should destroy them, take them out. We don't need them. They're bad.
Right. Yeah, dandelion.
All the same thing.
You can make a tincture out of dandelions. It's excellent to detox the liver. But, of course, the other thing we have to be concerned about is that we're being sprayed with pesticides and chemtrails. So this brings in a problem. You know, unless you're going to have a garden that's covered by some kind of a plastic awning or something that protects it from these chemtrails, then you're going to have a problem. Everything is being weaponized. Everything. Food, water. We have the GMOs. Very bad. The list is endless. Yes, in fact, we are being depopulated. That's not a paranoia. Just read Agenda 21 of the UN. Or look at the Georgia Guidestones. That's number one. They want to kill off 90% of the global population, and they're doing it.
Well, this with the GMOs, that seems to be like this catch-22, because on one hand, it's really bad for us. Depending on which one you look at, it has different effects on the body. But a lot of the GMO soy, the GMO corn, all the vegetable oil out there, horrible for us. And but yet, if you were to ban it and cut it off tomorrow and say GMOs are bad and cut it off, the problem is the population has become so dependent on that food supply that tons of people would end up starving. I think the only way you'd have to phase it back to rotated crops, you wouldn't be able to, you know, the whole world ban it overnight until they have actual crops planted.
Well, as it turns out, the output of GMO food is actually less than natural organic food. You know, we've been lied to about everything. So, cutting it back slowly, that's fine. But stopping it is very important. And they're not just GMOing the food now, the plants, they're GMOing the fish as well. They're destroying everything, everything. And these mad scientists do not have to prove that something is bad. Let me restate. What they have to do is just release it, and it will always be approved. This is how the process works. And what has to happen, and this is how sick it is that after they've released something, the people have to prove that it's bad. And how does the people do that? Well, you have to have a class action lawsuit. You have to find an attorney that's not corrupt to bring the lawsuit. There's been many instances with Monsanto. They've gone after farmers claiming they're stealing their seed, when in fact the Monsanto seed, the pollen was extending to the organic farmers, and their crops were being destroyed by Monsanto's pollinating, their destructive seeds. But this is how twisted things are.
Yeah, so then Monsanto sues the farmers who they've wrecked their crop and then sue them because of they have their seeds patented and they take their land.
Right.
This was a case that happened here in Canada. And really, the reverse should have happened. Monsanto should have been the one that got sued, but I guess they've got so much money, no one could afford to drag them out in court.
Yeah, because they buy the best lawyers around, and they have a lot of leeway.
And they'll just drag it on so you can't afford to keep up the court costs.
And they own the judges, Judge Clarence Thomas on the United States Supreme Court. Before he became a Supreme Court judge, he worked for Monsanto.
Yeah, they just rotated, just around, around, around. Nobody gets fired to just go to a new position. So.
Right.
And all the lawsuits that go out to, these different corporations for the damages that GMOs or vaccines have done, those corporations probably make triple or the money that they would be paying out to for the lawsuits. Maybe that's probably why it continues.
Right. Yeah, they have their number crunchers figure out, how much will they lose on lawsuits if people can find a non-corrupt court to bring a lawsuit in, compared to how much profit will they make for doing the bad things that they're doing. And, that's called an actuary, I believe. And, they always decide, well, it's worth paying out a few million in lawsuits, because our profits will still be off the charts.
Yeah, it's just like a lotto corporation. They can hold back a jackpot until they make a good enough profit that they're happy with, and then release a jackpot,
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. Yes, exactly.
So, Dr. Carley, do you get any information from, the health ranger?
Yeah, I just mentioned... I don't agree with everything he publishes, but he's done an excellent series on the Ebola scam.
Right.
That's naturalnews.com, and that's what I mentioned at the top of the show, this article, Why Does the CDC Own a Patent on Ebola Invention? Everybody should read that.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, and more importantly, follow the... But more importantly, not just the article, but follow the source. Read the actual article at the CDC. Go to the CDC's website. That's the main, always chase down your sources, folks.
Right. Read the patent. That'll blow your mind. Because the first thing people should be saying is, why are they patenting a deadly virus? And the answer is because they're making a vaccine out of it.
Well, the question, the flip side of that, too, is why are we allowing them to patent medicines? Why are we allowing them to patent vaccines? To me, the real problem here, again, is corporatism. We've allowed these corporations to become so big and powerful. They're treated as people, yet they don't have the morality that a human being, a non-psychopathic human being, would have. The problem really here is large corporations. Maybe what we really should be looking at is a review of the way the medical system is allowed to patent vaccines, that they're allowed to patent medicines, that they're allowed to patent diseases or DNA for that matter. To me, that's where the real problem lies. I really don't believe that the people that are sitting at the board of directors of these large pharmaceutical companies really have in mind, let's go out and kill as many people as we possibly can. I've got to believe that this is a matter of corporate finance, that when it comes to money, there's no morality, which is where the problem really lies, as opposed to a psychopathic board of directors that want to kill as many people as they possibly can. I refuse to believe that's the case.
Well, you can refuse to believe that. There are many people that stick their heads in the sand because they don't want to face what's right in front of their eyes. Okay,
well,
it's obvious.
You're accusing me of not being awake, not being aware.
I'm just telling you what I know, what I have found in my research, in my years of experience as a doctor, what I have seen with my own eyes. Okay? It's not
you're
that they're
talking about a corruptness in the system as opposed to psychopaths running the world.
Oh, there are psychopaths running the world.
Psychopaths running
That's
the
why
world.
They're running the world.
I agree.
Uh-huh.
But we've got to look at these problems in terms of how do we solve these problems. And I honestly do believe that the way we solve these problems is by not allowing these large corporate charters. You know, at one time, a corporate charter in the United States was only granted on a short-term basis for organizations and companies that wanted to create large projects like building a railroad or building a bridge or a road system. Eventually, what happened was we allowed these corporate entities to run wild, and not just in the pharmaceutical industry, but in every industry.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have companies like Coca-Cola that are putting out a product that's potentially sketchy and harmful if there wasn't huge profits in it. Again, the problem is with money and profits and large globalist corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism is not the problem here. Globalization is the problem here.
Okay, and who's going to stop this?
I think these large corporations that are allowed to make obscene profits are the problem.
And who's going to stop it? Because, as I told you, it might have gone over your head. The United States is a corporation. All agencies under the government, and I'm sure it's true in Canada as well, are for-profit corporations. You have to read the book, The Legal Process, at anticorruptionsociety.com, written by an ex-federal judge who lays it all out. The United States has been bankrupt since 1933. That is when we became a corporation. Obama is CEO of America, Inc. Okay? So none of those agencies are going to do a darn thing to stop what's going on. What are the people going to do? Okay, they're going to have a protest so that they can be, you know, rounded up and put in a FEMA camp. How is this going to stop? I don't claim to have all the answers, but
suggestion is what? We have a massive, violent, bloody revolution where institutions fail and people die on a wholesale basis?
That's probably what it's going to take in the end. Once enough people realize that their government created Ebola, that they're spreading it intentionally to kill people. Yeah, I think some people are going to get pissed off. And especially when they start quarantining people that are stupid enough to go to the white coats to report their diarrhea and fever. And because then what are they going to do? They're going to confiscate your property. You see, this is a perfect way to get a hold of people's property. If they had a dirty nuke or something, a false flag, then that would destroy a lot of property. But by using Ebola, they can just come in with a colloidal silver sprayer, kill off the Ebola, and then steal the property and put that into the hands of, you know, the banksters, etc. That's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen.
Well, I see this as possibly, you know, going down a few possible roads. I mean, it could be the possibility that Ebola doesn't actually outbreak, but they'll just use it as propaganda to sell their vaccine. That seems like best case scenario. Could go further than that. And they claim that there's some Ebola cases in the U.S. or North America, and then they roll out with the martial law that's currently going on in Africa in the infected areas. Now, that would be bad as well. And the worst case scenario is that they actually release this bloody thing and it's weaponized in some manner. And, you know, I lean towards the first one. I hope for the best that it's just a scam to sell vaccines. But worst case scenario, I mean, we've read their own writings. These psychopaths at the top want to wipe out humanity.
Right. But the vaccines are going to cause the spread of Ebola. That's what you have to understand. Just like the flu. What happens every year, flu season, they tell people to get the flu vaccine. What happens? Massive outbreak of flu. It's from the flu vaccine. They're inoculating you with a virus, okay? So that's how they're going to, that's the ultimate plan. And that's what goes to show how devious and evil these psychopaths are, is that they convince people that a vaccine is a preventive measure when, in fact, that's how they're going to spread the disease.
Yeah, because, Dr. Carly, what you were just saying there, my aunt and uncle took the H1N1 and because they got scared of what might happen if they don't take it. And it happened that they were like laid up in bed for over a week. They couldn't even get out of bed.
Right, right. And see, this goes to show you how their propaganda works. Because I know so many people that have had the same thing happen. And what do the white coats tell them? Oh, well, you may have got a minor case of the flu, but if you hadn't gotten the flu vaccine, it would have been worse. Now, that is so insane on its face, because they got the vaccine, they got the flu. Okay, who's saying they would have ever gotten the flu had they not gotten the flu vaccine? Exactly. But this is how their propaganda works.
These are JoJo's psychic vaccine, flu vaccine alliance. That's the issue I have with the flu vaccine, is anyone I ever know, have ever spoken to, has gotten a flu vaccine, has said that they got the flu, and some of them have gotten the flu really bad, and they won't take the flu vaccine anymore, not just based on that. Now, I've talked to probably close to 100 people about this, and I can't recall of one saying, yes, and it worked, and I never got sick. I mean...
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, not only that, not just the flu.
People who don't take the flu vaccine also get the flu.
Because the people that got the vaccine cough and sneeze on them. Okay? But it's not just the flu. They get MS. I mean, this is what I deal with when I do consults for people. Reversing their vaccine-induced diseases. MS. Parkinson's. Insulin-dependent diabetics. Alzheimer's, that's a big one, because the flu vaccine has mercury and aluminum in it, and mercury and aluminum causes Alzheimer's. So they're getting all these other diseases as well.
Yeah, just like aluminum hydroxide is directly linked to causing Alzheimer's.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they use that in an adjuvant in some vaccines, right?
Yes.
Right. Now, this also relates to the aerosol spraying and the claims that there is aluminum particulates in some of these aerosols that are reportedly being sprayed under the guise of fighting climate change, according to Environment Canada. They claim, you know, there's aerosol spraying programs. They're spraying aluminum particulates for solar radiation management in order to mitigate climate change. So if aluminum is known to possibly contribute to Alzheimer's, you know, I'd be worried about not only aluminum as an adjuvant but in a vaccine, but aluminum just breathing it in and ingesting it. I mean, how good could that be for us?
Well, it's very bad, and of course, you know, once you start doing research...
I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the Iodine Now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker, special JFK 50th anniversary signed limited edition. $30 including shipping, limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Evil contains within it the seed of its own destruction.
Truth Warrior with David Whitehead. Mondays on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. You can tune in here every Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're here with Dr. Carly, Dr. Rebecca Carly from DrCarly.com. And we were just talking about geoengineering and the aluminum reported to be in the aerosolized spray. And before that, we were also talking about Alzheimer's. And many of the reports of the effects of aluminum being related to Alzheimer's. Now, Dr. Carly, can you hear us? Are you here?
I'm here.
You're here. Okay. So anyways, we're talking about the, I don't know if you're aware, but Environment Canada, Government of Canada organization, has a 25-page report on geoengineering. And they refer to the chemtrails, the aerosol sprays, as solar radiation management, SRM. And it's to fight global warming from Save Us with Al Gore.
Right. Well, first of all, let me just say, what they're doing by spraying these aluminum particulates into the atmosphere is creating actually kind of a mirror in the ionosphere. And that's actually increasing global warming. It's causing, you know, the heat to not be able to leave the Earth, so it's making the problem worse. But, of course, the other major thing it's doing is spraying us with these aluminum particulates. And, unfortunately, that's one thing you can't do too much about is the air you breathe. If you're outside and you're breathing, you're going to breathe this crap in. And there's nothing more dangerous than getting these particulates into your lung. And there's all kinds of other reports, of course, I'm sure not reported by the Canadian powers that be, but that there's also nano chips in these particulates. They're chipping us as well.
Oh, there's like the smart dust technology.
Smart dust, yeah. There's all kinds of manifestations of this. And once again, you know, the United States government is bankrupt. I'm sure Canada probably is too. How much are they spending on these technologies? Because you know, as with all situations, the companies that manufacture this stuff, you know, pay their lobbyists to pay the prostitutes in Congress or your parliament to go along with the program, no matter what the effects are on the humans on the Earth, and the humans end up having to pay for it. So, yeah, this is a huge problem. And there's also the question of what are the nanoparticulates of aluminum doing to the soil. They're acidifying the soil. And, of course, Monsanto's seeds are designed to be able to handle this so that they'll be able to grow better. As a matter of fact, I rent a house in North Carolina, so I can't, rip up the yard and plant a garden. But I have about 25 container gardens. And every year I see less and less of a production. Matter of fact, this year I didn't even bother planting anything. I'll get like one tomato, one squash, you know, whatever. Nothing is growing. And I use organic soil and all the rest of it. So they're creating a food situation there would be plenty of food for everyone if we were still using the old ways of doing things, rotating crops, using heirloom seeds, et cetera, et cetera. But starving the people is another part of their agenda.
Mm. Well, so, Carly, with the chemtrails and that, do you think if the air is actually even worse if it's actually foggy? They're actually breathing this stuff in. Do you think it's even worse?
And that's because that implies increased condensation in the air, and the condensation is going to allow those particles to stick to it. So yes, it's going to bring it down more, and you're going to breathe more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually worse than, let's say, if it was a sunny day.
Right.
Because usually when there's an outbreak of chemtrails in the sky, and usually about 2 or 3 days later, it starts to rain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've seen. And I'm looking out my bedroom window now, and I see a whole bunch of trees that were like 2 years ago. These are fairly old trees, and they used to have a whole bunch of just leaves galore, and you couldn't even see the street. Now, I don't hardly see any leaves whatsoever. Do you think this is due because of the chemtrails?
Without question. Yes, where I live too, I've lived in North Carolina for 7 years, and just even driving on the interstate, you see everything turning brown and dying. Of course, it's also a consequence of the heart machine manipulation of the weather.
Right.
We have droughts in some areas, we have flooding in other areas. We go back and forth here. We'll have 6 days of 95 degree heat, followed by, a few days of torrential rains and floods. So, I mean, there's so many things.
Because a lot of countries are cutting down all the trees, and, so there's a lot of flooding going on, and the trees actually, absorb the moisture. So they're cutting down all the trees just so they can have cash crops. Like McDonald's does that. They go into other countries and, gets people to go off the land, and they take the land, and they use old growth forest land to make a profit.
Well, global warming, to me, as far as environmental concerns, is the equivalent of vaccines and medicine. The idea that carbon dioxide is a toxic gas. Carbon dioxide is what is used by plants through photosynthesis to create oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another insane thing they have come up with so that they can find an excuse to tax people for their carbon consumption or production. It's insane.
So in other words, if we cut off all CO2, then plants wouldn't be able to breathe and make oxygen, and then we wouldn't be able to breathe. And
exactly.
The whole thing would collapse, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But to me, I like global warming. I'd rather have that than global cooling.
Well, it's because you're in Canada.
The Great White North.
I have a question for Dr. Carly. You claim to be able to cure autism and brain fart here. Autism and hyper...
Activity
disorder. Could you briefly explain to us what's your method for curing autism and hyperactivity disorder are?
Well, first of all, if you use natural things, you're not allowed to use the cure word. It's actually illegal. So I speak in terms of reversing diseases based on taking a history, developing an individual protocol to detox the things that are of a concern. But I'm talking about all diseases in internal medicine. I have clients with autism, ADD, Parkinson's, MS, lupus, insulin-dependent diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis. Let me finish, please. Rheumatoid arthritis, every disease in internal medicine in people and in pets. So what I do is develop a detailed protocol based on the history in that individual person or pet in terms of what toxins they've been exposed to, and teach them what natural things they can use to detox and reverse the problem.
Okay, the point I wanted to get to was this. there are a lot of people that have autistic children. Many of them believe that the autism was caused by vaccinations that were received in childhood that actually brought on the autism. What I wanted to get to is how do you go about curing something? Well, you don't use the cure word. How do you go about treating autism I'm sorry, I can't think of another word other than cure.
Well, you can't reverse. Reverse. You can't use the treat word either. They took away my license because of my delusion of conspiracy, so I tell people, I teach them what I would do if I was them. And see, the problem with autism is because those parents don't believe their children got autism from vaccines. They know it. They watched it happen. They had a normal child. The child got the MMR vaccine, stopped talking, flapped their hands, and lost all eye contact. Okay, so this is not a belief thing. But, okay,
no, but that's commonly thought of is what brought on the autism in the first place.
Yes,
I want to get to is what is your method of reversing that?
Well, let me just finish. The problem with the autistic community is because the powers that be realized they were going to be a problem because there's millions of them and they're on the warpath. So that's why they brought in the mercury causes autism disinformers. Because they want people to believe that if they take the mercury out of vaccines, vaccines will be safe. A bigger lie has never been told. Mercury is involved in Alzheimer's. It has nothing to do with autism. Autism is actually subacute sclerosing panencephalitis from the measles virus introduced with the vaccines. That's one of those cases, as I said, where they changed the name to hide the true cause. And I already said what I do. I take a detailed history. I find out what the person's been exposed to. Autism is due to something called demyelination. Myelin is to the brain and nerve fibers what, the plastic coating is to an electrical cord. The antibodies produced attack that myelin sheath, and after enough damage has been done, the nerve conduction can no longer occur. Pesticides and mold toxins also cause demyelination. So it's always the big picture. It's not just vaccines. There are many things that are involved.
But it is, but you're not telling me what you do to reverse it.
Yeah, I did tell you what I do. I develop an individual protocol teaching the person what I would do if I was them. In terms of detoxification, I use different homeopathic remedies. But there's also other natural supplements that have to be used to repair the damage.
Yeah, that's what Lawrence wants to know. Wants a case in point that you've done to a patient in the past. That's what you looking
well,
for.
Exactly. Let's take the very last patient who you reversed autism in. What exactly did you prescribe or suggest? What methods did you go through to reverse the autism in that patient?
I developed a protocol using different homeopathic remedies to detox the problems that they had.
What are those homeopathic?
I'm not going to give that over the air. This is how I make a living. Okay, so
wait a second here. What you're saying is that you have to pay me to get the cure?
Yes, you do have to pay me. I've lost everything because of what I do, including my only child. I spent 7 years and 7 courts trying to save him. So, yes, I have to make a living just like everybody else. And people must pay me for my expertise, which encompasses about 35 years between medicine and studying natural therapies. Yes. Yeah. I must be paid for my information.
That's what when you say medicine, medicine actually is a sin.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes. And unfortunately, the only good point to me going through medical school and witnessing euthanasia, research fraud, and experimentation on people and spending 2 years studying big pharma, we had 10 hours of nutrition and 2 years of pharmacology, is that information helps me to undo the damage that the drugs have done. But the natural things that I've studied over the years, and by the way, I never learned the word homeopathy in medical school, that is what I use to help people.
Well, no offense intended here, doctor, but, you know, I've got a history of dealing with con men and con artists, and they've all got one thing in common, and that's that they're not totally up front when asked a question such as that.
Okay, all right, and I will not be insulted by you, okay? I have lost everything because of what I do. And if you think I'm a con artist, then you can think whatever you want.
So what I'm saying is that the answer that you just gave to a very simple question, I found very unsatisfying.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I don't mean to offend you or attack
you. You have offended me. You have offended me. I have to make a living like everybody else. And this is how I make a living, is by taking consults from people and teaching them what I would do if I was they. I do not give out free advice. That does not pay my bills.
So, Dr. Carley, so do you think the best way to do it is to eat more healthier and eat a lot of more fruits and vegetables compared to meat all the time, which a lot of fast food places just want to focus on meat, 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 and not fruits and vegetables. Do you think that would be the more better idea to detox yourself by just eating more organics and
right.
Just
how? You know, eating healthy foods, Meriel, that's eating them viruses as well. The virus, they're injecting them with live herpes virus. And what I always tell people,
Dr. Carley?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There you are. Yeah, could you repeat that again? Because you didn't sound too good in the audio.
Okay.
When I mentioned about foods and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Go to
Carly. We've got more audio problems.
It looks like the doctor has dropped out of the call once again, and oddly
yes.
enough, our audio problems have stopped. I'd just like to say I'm not going out of my way to offend our guest here today, but I do have a problem with her response to that question. If Dr. Carley is still listening, again, I mean no offense, but the way it comes off to the listeners, I felt that we needed some clarification. Is she back again? Dr.
Yes, Carly? I'm back again.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I suggest people go to Meriel, Meriel.ca. That's the Canadian vaccine manufacturer for food source animal vaccines. Check out the vaccines for turkeys, including live herpes virus, which they inject into the wings. So if you like to eat the wings, you're eating lots of virus.
Like you said, Dr. Carley, we all have to make a living. I can understand that. And when the patient goes to you for a consultation, and hopefully we will know that you are an upfront, good natural doctor there, and I respect you and I believe you, and we do have to make a living. That's all I want to say on that.
Right. Well, I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't have a conscience. As I said, I've lost everything, including my only child. I've had three attempts on my life. Okay. There's nobody else that I know that talks about vaccines that even tells the whole truth. So if somebody wants to question my integrity, I have a big problem with that.
Could you expand on these attempts on your life? I'm sure our listeners would be interested.
Yes, two poisonings and one time they tried to run me off the road. This is when I lived in New York. And that's one reason I had to get out of New York after they stopped my visitation with my son who was begging me to save him. And they said that I was discussing the case. I realized there was no reason for me to stay there and I left New York at that time.
And that was because you were exposing the medical mafia? Is that what
Yeah,
you
I had a public access TV show.
What methods did they use to try and poison you?
Well, I don't know what exact poison they used on me. I don't have a laboratory, but something was put in my food.
At a restaurant or at home?
At home. I had many break-ins into my house, and whenever I would call the police, they would refuse to even take a report.
Yeah, because they figure it wasn't serious enough, I guess.
No, because they're all involved. The police are the ones. My son was horrifically sexually abused. And when I reported the case, they actually decided that I was the problem because I photographed his bleeding anus, just as I did when I was attending in the emergency room. But they decided that that was improper for me to do, and they actually ended up giving custody of my son to the man that did this to him. And I've had no contact with him for over a decade.
So the local police department were part of the conspiracy?
Yes. Yes. The sex crimes detective testified at the trial that they threw the rape kit in the garbage, that the father had failed the polygraph, and a whole bunch of other things. But the judge just ignored it. And let me just say that the New York State Medical Board, who claimed I had a delusion of conspiracy, turns out that there was a pedophile neurologist in New York who raped over 100 autistic children. And the medical board knew and did nothing. And as a result of this, the public outcry was so huge that the New York State Legislature passed a law mandating that the medical board turn over criminal doctors to the authorities. Of course, you know, nothing has changed. But those documents are on the DrCarly.com site under the picture of me and Joey.
Now, if I understand this correctly, since it's been brought up, you claim this was some sort of satanic ritual abuse?
Yes, that's what they let me know that that's what had happened, yes.
So the person you were married to or living with was a Satanist?
Well, no, in the beginning he was a regular person, but obviously he's now a high-level Mason. He was, you know, basically told, obviously, that if he destroyed my son as an attempt to destroy me, then he would be rewarded.
And I take it this is not his son. It's your son from a
No, it's his son. It's his son.
I see. Okay. So I'm sorry. The Masons told your husband to...
I don't know who told him. I'm just saying he's a high-level Mason now. These are the kinds of things that the Masons do. They rape, sacrifice, and torture children. That's a well-documented fact.
Like the Bohemian Grove.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which they all attend, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, they have both sides of them, you know, and then they come out as so-called good Christians and all this kind of stuff, and then behind there's a lot of corruption going on.
Right.
Had your husband attended the Bohemian Grove?
I don't know what he does. I don't know. If I'd have known that these kinds of things were a possibility, I would have never gotten associated with him in the first place.
I'm sorry for asking the questions. It's just that many people find this aspect of the elites, the Illuminati, the New World Order, of particular fascination. So since
right.
you brought it up, I thought I'd question you about
Well, I have no problem with questioning it. As I said, go to drcarly.com, scroll down to the picture of my son and I, read the few documents on there, including the testimony of the foster mom as to what my son told her that his father did to him. This was all ignored, and his father got custody. Not only that, but I have to pay child support based on my salary as a surgeon. So that's another way they try to destroy me, is financially. But the problem we have, and I seem to think that you're one of these people, Lawrence, is that people with a conscience cannot even conceive that these things are going on. Well, wait until it happens to you.
Yeah, because that's right.
Unfortunately, many people, please let me finish. Many people don't want to know this stuff. I don't want to know this stuff. I didn't want to know that my profession was killing people, but I had to face it when I watched it with my own two eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with all these other things that I've researched over the years, we are being killed. We are being tortured. We are being sacrificed. 800,000 children go missing from this country every year. That's according to the Department of Justice. 800,000. Where are they going? Okay? They're being sacrificed and tortured. And as a matter of fact, you have Kevin Annette in Canada doing research on this in regards to the Catholic Church as well. There are many people.
My opinion on Kevin Annette is that he's nothing more than a cheap con artist.
Well, that figures. Basically, rather than research things, you just rather make that assumption.
Well, no, ma'am. I have researched things, and that's how I came to that conclusion.
Oh, so you don't believe that the Catholic Church has sacrificed and murdered Indian children on these residential schools?
What I'm saying to you is I believe Kevin Annette is a con artist.
Okay, I don't want to discuss Kevin Annette. We'll agree to disagree.
For ourselves and for
the end of the show has come.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Well, thank you, Dr. Carly.
Not the law of the jungle governs the conduct of nations. When we are...
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the Iodine Now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.